Mesechta Nagoyim, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, until Parak Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. The focus of this Mesechta is Tzaraas. Tzaraas is a miraculous change of appearance on either a person's body, or on his clothes, or on his house. This is not something natural, even when it occurs on a person's body. This is not a natural disease, but rather something miraculous that comes as a direct result of certain sins. The most primary sin being Lashon Hara, when somebody speaks badly of another person, and when the Jewish people were on a high enough spiritual level, the level of Hashkocha, divine providence that existed, was so great that as a direct result of them sinning, their punishment was extremely evident in a spot appearing on their body or on their clothes or on their house. Now, the majority of the Masechta is focused more around the tzara'as that appears on a person's body, and there are three different categories within this type of tzara'as. The first is nigei ur habosar, that refers to tzara'as that appears on a person's regular skin. The second category is shechinu michva, that refers to skin that has been injured in a particular way, either the skin has been burnt or has developed boils. If a tzara'as spot appears on top of that skin, then that would be the second category. And the third category is tzara'as that appears on a person's hair, on his head, or his beard. And within each of these categories, there are subcategories about which we will learn in the duration of this Masechta. Now, the main consequence of tzara'as appearing on a person's body, clothes, or house is that the person or his clothes or the house become tomei. They become impure, and that's really why this Masechta is in Seder Taharis, which talks about all of the laws of purity and impurity. And one of the important aspects of this Tumah is that it's not enough that the Tzara'as spot exists. Even if all of the various conditions that we'll learn about in the Masechta that are necessary for the Tzara'as to indeed make the person Tomei, even if they all exist, until a Kohen declares the person Tomei, or the clothes, or the house, they will remain pure. There is a requirement for the Kohen to examine the tzara'as, or in the case where the Kohen is not an expert, somebody else is able to examine it on behalf of the Kohen, but only once the Kohen declares the person to be Tomei will he indeed be Tomei. The term Nega'im, which is the name of the Masechta, is the plural for Nega, and this is a more inclusive term that refers to the area of the person's body, or clothes, or house that has changed its appearance, even if it ultimately doesn't end up being tzara'as. Tzara'as, strictly speaking, refers to the spot once it is actually defined as being tzara'as and makes him tomei. A nega refers to the spot even if it doesn't end up making him tomei. The very change of appearance that means that it is possibly tzara'as, that is called a nega. So the first condition for something to be considered tzara'as, and we'll focus for now on tzara'as that appears on a person's body, is that it be a particular shade of white, and that's going to be the focus of the first mishnah of the Masechta, defining the exact color that is needed for it to be considered tzara'as. The second condition for the nega to be considered tzara'as, for this spot which is a change in the regular appearance of the person's skin, for that to be tzara'as, which would make him tomei, there is also a requirement for one of three features to appear on this nega. Either two of the hairs which are on this nega must have turned white, or in the middle of this nega there is an area which is still regular healthy skin, or if the tzara'as begins a particular size and later on it expands. One of those three features are necessary as a second condition for the nega to be considered tzara'as. And for each different kind of tzara'as, for example, with regards to the tzara'as which exists on injured skin that has been burnt, for example, there might be different features that are necessary to fulfill this second condition. We're just talking about a regular nega which exists on regular skin. The second condition for it to be considered tzara'as is that one of these three features exist. The regular procedure which takes place when somebody develops a spot that could possibly be tzara'as is that he goes to a kohen in order for his nega, for this change in the appearance of his skin, to be examined. And if one of these three features exists, then the kohen will already declare him to be tomei, and the person becomes a metzora. Metzora is somebody who has tzara'as, and he is tomei for as long as the tzara'as still exists. after which he needs to go through a 7-day long purification process, which will be described later on in the Masechta. As well as that, after becoming pure, he's also obligated to bring 3 korbanos, 3 sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, and again, that will be the focus of Mishnayos later on. In the final perek, the final chapter is designated to that topic. Now, even if the Kohen does not see any of these 3 features in the Tzara'as, that doesn't necessarily mean that the person will go home pure. If the entire color is not the correct color for Tzara'as, even the first condition is not fulfilled, then the Kohen would declare him to be Tohar, pure, and he would not need to return to the Kohen. However, if the Nega is a correct color that could possibly be Tzara'as, however, the second condition is lacking. It does not contain any of the 3 features that are required for the Nega to be Tzara'as, then the Kohen would declare him a Metzora Muskar, which according to the vast majority of opinions means that the person becomes Tomei and he must be kept inside of a building for an entire week, and he's forbidden to leave and he must be by himself. At the end of that week, he would return to the Kohen, and the Kohen would once again examine the Nega. If it had developed once one of these 3 features, either 2 of the hairs in that Nega turned white, or there was a part of that Nega which was healthy skin, or the Nega expanded in its size, then the Kohen would declare him to be a proper Metzora Muchlot, which means that he definitely does have Tzara'as, and he would need to go through the entire purification process once the Tzara'as leaves him. If the person still has not developed any of these 3 features, but the first condition still does exist, it's still, the spot is still there, and it's the correct color, then the Kohen would send him again away for a week to be kept inside of a building by himself. He would have a second week of being a Metzora Musgar, where he's closed up by himself, and he would return to the Kohen after that week. And this time, only if indeed one of the 3 features exist, would he be declared a Metzora Muchlot, and if not, then he would be declared Tohar. He would not be sent for a 3rd week in this case. And for the different types of tzara'as, be it on a person's clothes or on the house, a very similar procedure is followed, just that the details of the exact features that would fulfill the second condition, as well as the limit for how many times the Kohen would re-examine the item or the person after waiting a week, those differ between the different kinds of tzara'as, as we will see in the Masechta. The first 8 parakim, the first 8 chapters, talk about general laws that apply to all tzara'as of a person's body, or laws that apply specifically to the first category of tzara'as on a person's body that appears on the person's regular skin. The 9th chapter talks about the second category of tzara'as on a person's body, when it's on an injured part of the body, and the 10th perek talks about the tzara'as which appears on a person's hair or beard. The next 3 parakim talk about tzara'as on a person's clothes or house, and the final perek talks about the purification process, which must be followed at the end of the period of him having tzara'as. The first few Mishnayos of the Masechta talk about the first condition which the tzara'as requires, and that is that it be the correct color. Maris Nagoyim Shnayim Shein Arba'a. There are 2 appearances of the Nega on a person's body that could be tzara'as, and these 2 are really 4. This means that there are 2 primary shades of white that the tzara'as could be. One is called Baheres, that's the most bright white that we're going to see, and one is called Se'es, this is the name that the Torah calls them. And both of these shades of white have a subcategory that is a similar shade, but not exactly the same. And the subcategory of that shade of white is called Sapachas. Once again, there's Baheres and Se'es. Those are the 2 primary shades of white. And there are 2 subcategories of the white, and that is called Sapachas. The mission elaborates, Baheres, that which is called Baheres, which is one of the primary shades of white, is Azoka Sheleg. It's as bright as snow, and this is the brightest kind of tzara'as that can exist on a person's body. Shaniola, the shade of white that is considered to be a subcategory and secondary to that Baheres, is Kasida Heichel, that has the appearance of the white plaster that was on the walls in the Beis HaMikdash. the plaster in the building part of the Beis HaMikdash was replaced each year. It was also a bright white, but it wasn't as bright as Baharis, which was as bright as snow. Out of the four shades of white that are going to be mentioned in the Mishnah, this white was the third most bright. Now, the second primary shade of white that exists with regards to Tzara'as is Vahasa'as. The Sa'as had the appearance kikrum beitza, like the inner part of a eggshell. This is the least bright of the four shades of white that are mentioned in the Mishnah. And the reason why Rabbi Meir understands that that is what Sa'as is because Sa'as means something that is raised. And if there are two things next to each other and one is less bright, then it appears to be raised higher up than the item that is next to it that is brighter. And because of that, Rabbi Meir understands that Sa'as refers to the least bright shade of white, Shani'ala, the shade which is considered to be a secondary shade of white in relation to the Sa'as is Ketzemer Lavan, that is as bright as white wool, and this is, out of all of the four shades of white, second most bright. Divrei Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. So to summarize, according to Rav Meir, Baharis and Sa'as, which are the two primary shades of white, Baharis is the most bright, and Sa'as is the least bright. And the secondary shade of Baharis is the third most bright, and the secondary shade of Sa'as is the second most bright, the one which looks like white wool. But the Chachomim say that Hasa'as, the Sa'as that the Torah refers to, is not the one that is the least bright. Rather, Ketzer Lavan, that has the brightness like white wool, which is the second most bright shade out of all of the shades which are mentioned. Since this is one of the primary shades, the Chachomim understand that it is one of the top two shades in terms of its brightness. And Shani'ala, the secondary shade of white, which is considered to be a subcategory of Sa'as, is Kikrum Beitza, that has the brightness and the appearance like the inner part of an eggshell. Now, one might ask, what difference does it make? What's considered to be a primary shade of white or a less primary shade of white? All of these are valid colors, valid appearances of the Tzara'as that can make a person Tomei. The answer is, we're going to learn in Mishnah Gimel that different shades are able to combine together to make out the minimum size that is necessary in order for the nega to be considered Tzara'as. However, not all of the shades can combine together. Sa'as and Baharis can combine together, those are the two primary shades of white. And as well as that, Sa'as can combine with its secondary form, and Baharis can combine with its secondary form. But for the secondary form, the secondary shade of Baharis to combine with either Sa'as or the secondary form of Sa'as, those two would never combine, so this would be the ramification of the argument between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim. Mishnah Beis, it is learnt from the Pesukim that talk about Tzara'as that even if the white spots that exist on a person's body contain a tinge of red, that is also considered to be a valid appearance and a valid color of the Tzara'as. As long as it's still white, it's just that part of it is mixed with some red color, it would still be a appearance that can be considered Tzara'as. Now, each of the four shades of white have a different level of redness for the red part that would be mixed with the white. And interestingly, the Mishnah does not discuss at all the red tinge that is mixed with the Sa'as and the secondary form of Sa'as. But the Mishnah does bring now a argument with regards to the redness of the red part that is mixed with Baharis, or the secondary form, the secondary shade of Baharis. According to both opinions in the previous Mishnah, Baharis itself is the brightest of all of the four shades of white. It's as bright as snow, and the secondary form of Baharis has the appearance of white plaster, which was in the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, HaPosul Shebasheleg, the appearance of the red tinge that is mixed in with part of the white that is as bright as snow, the Baharis, Kayayin HaMozug Basheleg, has the appearance of wine that has been poured and mixed with snow. Whereas HaPosul Shebasid, the red tinge that is mixed with the secondary form, the secondary shade of Baharis, which is white like plaster, Kedom HaMozug B'cholov, that has the appearance of blood that has been poured and mixed with milk. Blood is redder than wine. So the Mishnah is coming to say that the red part that is mixed with the secondary shade of Baheres is redder than the red part that would be mixed with the Baheres itself. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Adam don shebozeh v'shebozeh, the red tinge that is mixed with the tzoras of either Baheres or the secondary form of Baheres, is kiyayin hamozug b'mayim. It's like wine that has been poured and diluted with water. This is a third shade of red, and it's the least red out of the three. The most red is the appearance of blood. Wine is less red than that, and diluted wine is even less red. And according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no difference between Baheres and the secondary shade of Baheres in terms of the appearance of the red part that is mixed in. It's just that the white part, which looks like snow, is brighter. The Baheres is white, is brighter. And the white of the secondary shade of Baheres, which has the appearance of plaster, is less bright than the white part of the Baheres. But the red part of both of these mixtures is identical according to Rabbi Akiva. Now again, there are shades, there is tzoras that does not contain any red in it at all. That would be the four shades of white when they are by themselves. But these four shades can also come with a tinge of red mixed in with them. And this Mishnah is focusing on the appearance of the red part of that mixture, although the Mishnah does only talk about the mixture of red with Baheres or the secondary form of Baheres, and the Mishnah does not go into the details of the red that would be mixed with Se'es or the secondary form of Se'es. Mishnah Gimel, as we mentioned, Arba'a Maris Ha'elum Itztarifin Ze'im Ze'eh, these four shades of white can combine with each other, although that is only under certain conditions. Like we mentioned, Se'es can combine with Baheres, as well as Baheres combining with its secondary form, and Se'es combining with its secondary form. And it's those three forms of combinations that the Mishnah is referring to. And the Mishnah's main point is that we do not view them as being two different nega'im, but rather as one nega, and that's going to make a difference, liftar, to exempt and declare the person pure, ulahachlet, or to declare the person a definite metzora, ulahaskir, or to declare him a metzora muskor who would need to be by himself for a week and return to the kohen after a week. The Mishnah is saying that there can be these three different ramifications based on the fact that we are viewing both of the shades as being one large nega as opposed to two separate negoim. And the Mishnah explains, Lahaskir es ha'omid b'sof shavua rishon, if at the end of the first week after the person was sent to be by himself, and at the end of the week the nega is exactly the same size and nothing else has changed, and like we learned, in such a case he would be sent back for a second week to be by himself. What happens if at the beginning of the week it was one shade of white, and at the end of the week, half of the white changed into a different shade? And each part by itself is too small to meet the minimum size that Saras needs to be. The Mishnah is saying that we would view it all as one, and we would therefore view it as being exactly the same as it had been a week ago. And so the person would be sent for another week to return after the week to examine the Saras again. Now what happens if at the end of the second week, let's imagine a scenario where the tzaras remained identical in being one shade for the duration of the first week, and after he was sent for a second week, then he came back and half of the nega had changed to a different shade of white. The law in such a case is that the person would be declared pure. Now we're going to understand that in this case we're talking about where each shade of white by itself is actually large enough to be considered tzaras by itself. And the question of the Mishnah is, do we view the fact that the half of the tzaras changed its shade, do we now view that as a new nega? In which case, even though it's been 2 weeks already, the person would be sent for another week because now this is a new nega. Or do we say no, it combines with the other shade of white and we view it as being a continuation of the nega that has been until now, even though it's changed shade, that's not considered to be a totally different nega. That's what the Mishnah says. Lifter so imu b'sev shavua sheni. If the tzaras stays the same at the end of the second week, except that half of it changed its shade, he would be exempted and declared pure because we view it as being a continuation of the original nega, as opposed to the change in the shade of white being defined as a totally new nega. And a third example, lahachlit es shenolad lo michroi ser lovon. If a healthy part of the skin is in the middle of the nega, or white hairs develop in the nega, these are two of the features that would make the nega into tzara'as. But we're talking about a case where half of the tzara'as is one shade of white, and the other half is another shade of white. And each by itself is too small, and the Mishnah is saying that we can combine them together, and he would become a mitzora muchlot, a definite mitzora who would be fully impure. And the Mishnah adds that the fact that the healthy part of skin that's in the middle of the nega, or the white hairs, make the person a definite mitzora, that applies whether the features appear there batchila, the first time he comes to the koyein, or b'sof shavua rishon. If these features appear on the tzara'as after coming back after a week, b'sof shavua sheni, or even if they appear on the tzara'as only after 2 weeks when he comes back to the koyein, or even la'achar ha'ptur, after the person was declared exempt and pure by the koyein after 2 weeks, if a couple of days later he develops these features on the tzara'as and he comes back to the koyein, then the koyein would declare him tomei, even after he's gone through 2 weeks without any of these features. These features which appear on the nega would always make him tomei, and it would make the nega considered tzara'as. Now, there is a third feature that would make the nega into tzara'as, and that is if the nega expands. But for the nega to expand, that's not really relevant to the first time he comes to the koyein, because the whole point is that he comes to the koyein, the tzara'as is a particular size, and then he comes back a week later and it has expanded. So the Mishnah says that the two shades of white can combine together. If, for example, there is a shade of white and it expands, but the expansion of the nega is a different shade of white. Because they can combine, the Mishnah says that lahachlit shenolad lo pisyon. If an expansion grows on the skin, it would make him into a mitzora muchlot, a definite mitzora, but this is only relevant not the first time he comes to the koyein, but b'sof shavua rishon, only at the end of the first week, b'sof shavua sheni, or at the end of the second week, la'achar ha'ptur, or if the tzara'as expands after the 2 weeks, even after the koyein has declared him to be pure, since this is one of the features that would make the nega be tzara'as. As soon as it develops on the skin, and the Mishnah is showing that even if it's a different shade of white, it would combine, and we'd view it as a part of the original nega in order to make him tomei and to consider this tzara'as. Now, one of the ways for a nega to be considered tzara'as is in a case where the person was declared pure by the koyein, none of the three features developed. And after he was declared pure by the koyein, the tzara'as spread to his entire body. His entire body became white. In that case, he would become tomei. Now, interestingly, if the person had been declared tomei as a definite mitzora, and then his entire body becomes white, the tzara'as spreads to his entire body, in that case, it has the exact opposite effect, that it would make him pure. Again, if he was not yet considered to be tomei as a mitzora, and his entire body becomes filled with the white tzara'as, then it would make him tomei. But if he was already a mitzora, he was already tomei as a result of tzara'as, and then his entire body became white filled with tzara'as, then he would become pure. The Mishnah says that both of these laws apply even if he becomes white fully with a different shade of white. L'hachlit sahifir kul ilova mitoich ha'ptur, to define him as a definite mitzora after he turns fully white after having been declared exempt and pure, or lifter sahifich lov kulei lova mitoich hechlet, to exempt and purify him if he turned totally white after being declared a mitzora, or mitoich hezger, or after he was told to go away for a week. The law is that if he turns white during that week, then also it would make him be considered pure. Be it as it may, the Mishnah is saying that even if it's a different shade of white, these laws would apply. And again, it should be noted that this is not true with all of the combinations of the four shades. but only if Baheres combines with its secondary form, or Se'ez combines with its secondary form, or Se'ez combines with Baheres. Those are the three ways that the different shades would combine, and we would consider it all to be the same nega. The Mishnah concludes, Elu Maris Nagoim, these are the appearances of the Tzara'as, the different shades of white and the red that have been discussed until now. Shekol Nagoim Tuluim Bohem, that all of the different forms and kinds of Tzara'as are dependent upon these different calculations of the appearances and shades of Tzara'as. Mishnah Dalet, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, Omer Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim says, Maris Negoim Shisha Osar, there are 16 different ways in which the Tzara'as can appear. As we have seen, on a person's body there are three different types of Tzara'as, one which appears on regular skin, one on injured skin, and the third type is that which appears on the hair and that area. And each of these three types can appear in four different shades of white, as we have seen. That brings us to 12. As well as that, the tzara'as that appears on a house or on a person's clothes comes in one of two colors, either red or green, so that's another 4, which brings us to 16 different ways in which the tzara'as can appear. Rabbi Dos ben Arkinas, Omer Rabbi Dos ben Arkinas says, Maris Negoim Shaloshim V'Shisha, there are 36 different ways in which tzara'as can appear. And there are really two differences between the calculation of Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim and that of Rabbi Dos ben Arkinas. The first one is that Rabbi Dos ben Arkinas counts 8 shades, because as we saw, as well as the 4 shades of white, each of those has a corresponding kind of nega that has a tinge of red mixed in with it. And therefore, instead of counting 4 shades, Rabbi Dos ben Arkinas counts 8 shades. As well as that, there is a 4th type of tzara'as that Rabbi Dos ben Arkinas counts, and that is nesek. This is a type of nega that appears in a bald spot in the hair or the beard. And this is a unique type of tzara'as that the Torah describes, and therefore it's considered to be an additional type. And it can also come in one of those 8 shades. So there are 4 types of tzara'as, which each come in 8 shades. That brings us to 32. In addition to that, there are the red and green negoim, which come on a house or on a person's clothes. Altogether, that brings us to 36 negoim. The reason why Rabbi Chanina ben Arkinas does not count nesek is because the truth is, nesek is not limited to these 8 shades. Nesek can come in any color. And Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim was only counting those negoim that are limited to specific appearances. Alright, and the third opinion is Akavi ben Mahalal. Omer Akavi ben Mahalal says, Shivim Ushnayim, there are 72 different appearances of the negoim. Essentially, Akavi ben Mahalal agrees with Rabbi Dos ben Arkinas' calculation. However, since there is a difference between the first time that a person appears in front of the Kohen with his tzara'as, and the second time when he returns to the Kohen, and the law which is based on the appearance of the nega differs between the first time that he appears in front of the Kohen with the tzara'as and the next time. And because of that, Akav ben Mahalalel calculates it as 2 different appearances. All 3 opinions agree as to which type of tzara'as is considered to be real tzara'as that makes him tomei. The ramification of this argument of how many appearances we include in the calculation is really just in terms of determining whether somebody is an expert in the laws of tzara'as and therefore fit to rule and issue a verdict as to whether the nega is considered to be tzara'as or not. The argument is, how well-versed does he need to be with every different type of nega that exists? Now, the ruling that is stated with regards to the tzara'as is considered to be a form of judgment. One is essentially issuing a verdict, whether the nega is considered tzara'as that makes him tomei or not. And because of that, just like it is forbidden to issue any verdict on Shabbos, it is also forbidden for a kohen to pronounce somebody tomei or tohar based on the tzara'as on Shabbos. Because of this, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, Omer Rabbi Chanina, the deputy kohen gadol, says, in Rome, San Goyim Batchila L'Achar Shabbos, one should not appear in front of the Kohen in order for him to inspect the Negoim for the first time on Sunday. Because the 7th day, the end of his week, if he ends up becoming a Metzora Muskar, who needs to be by himself for a week and then return to the Kohen for a second inspection, that will fall on Shabbos, and he's not able to fulfill the Torah's requirement of returning back to the Kohen for a second inspection on the 7th day. V'loyet Basheni, nor should he appear in front of the Kohen on a Monday for the first time, because the end of the 2nd week will fall on Shabbos. If he ends up needing to be by himself for 2 weeks and to come back to the Kohen for a third inspection, that will fall on Shabbos and he won't be able to fulfill that requirement. v'loy bashelishi labotim, and a kohen shouldn't inspect the negoim of a house for the first time on a Tuesday, because with regards to negoim of a house, it is possible to reach a third week where the kohen will come back at the end of the third week even. And in that case, Shavua Shlishi Shalei Chalios B'Shabbos, the end of the third week will fall on a Shabbos. We can see from the Mishnah that the seventh day of the first week is also counted as the first day of the next week. Now Rabbi Akiva says, La'olam Royim, one can always inspect the Tzaras with a Kohen. He doesn't need to be concerned what will happen in the future. And Chalios B'Shalei Shabbos, if it comes out that his seventh day will be on a Shabbos, then Mavirin L'Achar Shabbos, we postpone the next inspection until Sunday. And there's no problem with that, because according to Rabbi Akiva, it is preferable to inspect the Tzaras immediately, because that is also a requirement of the Torah. Now Rabbi Chanina Sagan O'Kanim understands that the requirement that the seventh day indeed be the seventh day, that is explicitly mentioned in the Torah, whereas the fact that one needs to inspect the Tzaras immediately the first time is not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and therefore it is preferable to postpone the first inspection in order that the upcoming inspections will be done on time. Now the Mishnah ends off with an introduction to the next couple of Mishnayos, V'yesh v'dobel ha'chokel ha'chmer. This law that says that we are going to postpone the seventh day until Sunday, according to Rabbi Akiva, this can lead to certain leniencies and certain stringencies. Because if the way that the Tzaras appeared on Shabbos was one that would make him Tomei, but then the appearance of it changed by Sunday by the time that the Kohen inspected it, it would emerge that it was a leniency to postpone it until Sunday. And if it was vice versa, it would be a stringency. And that is going to be the subject matter of the next couple of Mishnayos, to elaborate on many different examples where this would come into play.